Welcome to the Weekend Messages podcast from Outpost Church Ministries and Pastor Philip Gonzalez. Our mission is to drive back the darkness by helping people flourish for the glory of God. And we hope this message helps you do just that. We'd love to get to know you, so visit us online at outpostchurch.org to find more ways to connect, give, and grow. And remember, you matter to Jesus, so you matter to us. And if you're in Christ, then you are an outpost of the kingdom of God.
A few years ago, we used to have a stool that I had up here on the platform, and I would use that stool to sit down on sometimes for dramatic effect. Tonight, I wish I had that stool. Not for dramatic effect, but for the sake of my knees. But that is okay. Moving today was a good experience, and I wouldn't miss being here for the world. Mr. Ray, if you could turn on our fluorescent lights for us, please, so people can see their Bibles. They'll need to do that. God is good, amen? Amen all the time and all the time. God is good, yes, and amen. I wonder, have you ever had a moment of pure joy? A moment where everything around you, everything within you, everything that you could think of that would bring you down just disappeared for a moment. I remember 1 year, 6 months, and 7 days ago, I had a moment like that. I was standing in the delivery room with my wife holding our newborn baby girl, Alendra. And I remember thinking two things in that moment that I had never thought before. Thing number one, wow, she's really messy. And number two, I don't even have words to explain the second thing, except a moment of pure joy. And it was amazing. Tonight, we're continuing our series. Go back, please, James. Tonight, we're continuing our series called The Choice Bouquet, How Our Decisions Shape Our Destiny. And last week, I shared with you that this was going to be one message, but as I was digging into it and praying and seeking the Lord on it, it was way more than I could possibly cover in one night. I told you last week that this was based on a dream that I had. And in my dream, interestingly enough, I was surrounded by a bunch of junk that I was moving somewhere. Perhaps it was prophetic. And in my dream, I had these four flowers that were these weird fake flowers, but I didn't know what to do with them. And when I woke up, I realized those four flowers represented four different gifts that come our way. Last week, we talked about the flower of life. And we talked about what Jesus did when he received the flower, the gift, the opportunity to live life here on earth as a human. And we explored last week, we said, what did Jesus do with the gift of life that he was given? Well, the first thing he did, we explored last week, Jesus kept growing. And we talked about this and how it is God's goal and his design for us in life to continually pursue healthy and sustainable growth. That we never want to stagnate, we never want to sit still. Now, growth is not the opposite of contentment. Contentment, listen, contentment is embracing where I am without giving up on where I'm going. Some people ask, what's the difference between contentment and complacency? Complacency says, this is where I am, this is where I'll stay. But contentment embraces where you are, but doesn't give up on where you're going. Jesus kept growing. The Bible says, we looked at this last week, that he grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with people. We also saw this last week, that Jesus, in response to the flower of life that he was given, Jesus kept going. He continued to go and pursue fulfilling the will of the Father for his life. He didn't quit when it was hard. He didn't go home when it hurt. He didn't give up when it was a great trial to him. He kept going. And we talked about this last week, how this is important. It's important that we make the right choices in life because of this big idea that our decisions shape our destiny. And we explored this, how the salvation that is offered as a free gift of grace comes as exactly that. God welcomes you, invites you into his family, into his kingdom, into an eternity with him by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Jesus did all the work for your salvation and for your reconciliation, for God to love you, for him to forgive you of all your sins, for you to have a place in the kingdom of God. Jesus did all the work. But we also explored last week that there are things that God calls us to do, not so we earn salvation, but because there are rewards to be gained, both here, but especially there. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, well, the moment I said that, I'm thinking, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory, the victory. Yeah, I grew up Southern Baptist. We sing that sort of stuff. It's great. I love that song. That's not what I'm talking about, though. When we get to heaven, the Bible says that there will be rewards based on how we lived in this life. And we explored that and looked at the scriptures last week. If you weren't here, go listen online at outpostchurch.org. It's important to know how to make our choices and to make them wisely, because our decisions shape our destiny. We talked last week about the flower of life. As I said, though, tonight, I want to explore with you what kind of choices we make in regards to the flower of joy. Told you it wasn't going to be A-level tonight. The flower of joy. By the way, my wife picked these out. She got. I told her last week, I said, I need to get some fake flowers. And in our house, maybe you really like fake flowers, fake greenery. My parents love it. You go to their house and it looks like someone went to a garden and froze everything and then brought it to their house. Heather and I are not fans of faux greenery, but she was willing to take the hit, take one for the team, and go to Hobby Lobby. Now, I don't know if you've ever walked into Hobby Lobby thinking you'll get one thing, but that's really not a doable project. So anyway, she was actually really good. She got only four things, the flowers that I asked her to get. So this is the flower of joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
What is joy? How would you describe it? Maybe you've heard this taught before, the difference between joy and happiness. We've taught here before that happiness is a satisfied sense of well-being. We've talked about how happiness is usually dependent on your circumstances. And sometimes we'll hear this taught that joy is something that is deeper than just your circumstances. And that's good, right? That's great, and it's important. But more than just being something we enjoy, I want to show you this, that specifically, joy is a mirror of the love of God. We sang earlier tonight this beautiful song, Reckless Love, singing about, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. You need to know that in those moments when you experience that feeling of wow. I don't mean just, hey, my favorite team won, right? So the World Cup or the Super Bowl. That's great. That's happiness. But I mean joy, when everything is right with the world and your heart is lifted to something greater. I want you to know that that is a mirror of the love of God, that he wants you to experience that and that he offers it to you as a gift. Yet here's the thing about joy. Here's the thing about joy and happiness, and we could even kind of meld them together for our particular purposes tonight. We seek them in different ways, right? Different people have different ways to do it. But what's interesting, I found, is that sometimes we look for joy. Maybe you've heard the phrase, looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Well, I found out sometimes we look for joy in the wrong places too, which is why I brought a prop tonight. Now, I wonder, by a show of hands, who would raise their hand and say they know what this is? And it's not a trash can. Well, it's kind of a trash can. So this is called a diaper genie. And it's a fabulous event. See, I told you that 1 year, 6 months, and 7 days ago, I hope my math is right, I experienced a moment of pure joy. Well, that moment passed rather quickly when I became introduced to the need for a diaper genie. Now, diaper genie is a pretty nifty thing, and what I'm going to do tonight, I have a very special present for you. I want to engage all your senses. I'm just kidding. So this is empty. There's nothing in here. But what happens is, this is a brilliant machine. Typically, there's a liner in here, like a trash liner, and it sits around, and you take the diaper, and you push it in. And at first I thought you just put it in, close the lid, and it does it automatically. Oh no, you put the diaper in, and then, Moses, you're gonna learn this. This is great. And then you push with your fingers, and you better hope that you bound up that diaper good and firm, or else you're gonna have a little surprise that you weren't expecting. So you put the diaper in the top, and you push it, and it goes in, and there's a spring-loaded, you can't really see it, but there's this spring-loaded thing, and if you can get the diaper past the threshold and get your hand out in time, the door will close, and it will seal the smell of the diaper within the liner. It sounds way more complicated than it actually is. I just thought it was a good dramatic effect, right? But I brought this diaper genie because I found out that sometimes people look for joy in the wrong places, but here's the thing about genies, sooner or later, they always get out. Let me show you something. Go to Galatians chapter 6. It'll be on the screen. Most of our time together will be in the book of Luke, but if you'd like, you can turn here in your Bible. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. Now, you may or may not know, Galatians is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church, the collected group of followers of Jesus in a city called Galatia. And Galatia was a great center of trade. It was located in a region where there was lots of economic activity. And because there was lots of economic activity, well, there was lots of need for other activities for people to spend their money on. And how many have found out that not every activity available for you is a good one to spend your money on, right? Well, to these people in the city of Galatia, this is what God said, inspiring the Holy Spirit to write through the Apostle Paul. He writes this, Galatians 6, 7 through 8. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. He says, don't be, what's that word? Deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, plants in the ground, he will also reap. He's going to get it back. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Here's the big idea. It's not complicated. What you put in will always come out in the end. See, when we're talking about the flower of joy, we're talking about how God wants you to have joy in your life. But he wants you to have it and find it in the right places. Because if you are pursuing joy, if you're pursuing happiness, if you're pursuing fulfillment, if you're pursuing contentment, all of these good things, if you're pursuing them by chasing after the ways of the world, what the world says matters, what the world says is important, all you're really doing is you're stuffing things into your life that will come out later and they won't produce the result you want. What could we say about this? We could talk about sex. We could talk about money. We could talk about power. We could talk about the impressions that others have of us. We could talk about our self-image. We could talk about career advancement. None of these things are necessarily bad in themselves. It's the way you pursue them and the weight that you give them in your life that makes a difference. And I found out that what you put in will also always come out. By contrast, when you're pursuing joy, when you're saying, God, I believe that you want me to have joy in my life, and I believe that there is a way that you have provided for me to receive that. When you live in that way, this is the language that the Bible is using, right? Sowing to the flesh means pursuing joy in ways that the world says matter, but will ultimately destroy. Sowing to the Spirit means pursuing joy in ways that God says will matter and will come out in the end. It's a simple equation. Now, what's interesting is this. Sometimes we pursue joy in ways that aren't bad. They're not necessarily sinful. They're just not sufficient. Let me show you this from Scripture. Go with me to the book of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, it's the third book in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. In Luke chapter 12, there's a story of Jesus tells of a man who was pursuing, looking for joy, not love in this particular case. He was looking for joy in all the wrong places, and he found out in the end, it wasn't that these things were bad, but they weren't enough for what really mattered. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Take a look at this story Jesus tells. Then he told them a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, what should I do since I don't have anywhere to store my crops? As a side note, I'm very well aware of the importance of storage today because I don't know where the heck we're going to put all this stuff. I will do this, he said. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods there. Obviously, he was American. Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. So what's he want to do? He wants to enjoy himself. Now, every time I have the opportunity to preach or teach out of this passage, I always want to highlight, and I apologize, I don't have the exact reference, but in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, we have the word of God given to and through Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it actually says that to eat and to drink and to be merry is a gift of God. But the problem comes when you pursue it in the wrong way, or you expect the things of this life to bring ultimate joy for the next life. Here's the response that Jesus says comes from God to this man. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, you remember perhaps that last week we talked about this, and this week we reiterated that the Bible says that there are rewards that you can store up in heaven. In fact, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I found out that if you really want to have joy in your heart, you got to be careful what you do with your treasure. And so this man was pursuing joy in ways that aren't bad in and of themselves, but they were not sufficient to bring him the ultimate joy that he really needs. So then the question is, well, where do we find joy? That's great. Okay, so let's see. Places we shouldn't look for joy. Number one, sin. Can we just agree on that? Like, bad idea? Okay, good. Number two, good things that aren't God things, right? Well, great. Thanks for telling us what not to do. Well, what do we do? I'm glad you asked, because I prepared a response. Let's take a look specifically at Jesus and his joy. Interestingly enough, there's not a lot of places in the Bible that it talks about Jesus actually rejoicing or having joy. I mean, when I think of Jesus, I always think of him as a pretty happy guy. But the Bible only has, that I could find anyway, one spot that directly references Jesus rejoicing. You could maybe do a second one over in the Gospel of John, but we're not going there tonight. Go back a couple of chapters to Luke chapter 10, verse 21. We'll have this verse on the screen, but you'll need to be in there as we amplify this together. Luke chapter 10. Here's what Luke records of the life of Jesus. At that time, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. So pause here. This is Jesus rejoicing. I would love to see what Jesus was like when he was rejoicing, right? I've been to some football games, and I've seen people rejoicing, right? I've been to some concerts, and I've seen some people rejoicing. I've been to places where people, like, they say they're rejoicing, but you could have fooled me because their face didn't show it, right? I'm so happy, Jesus saved me. Jesus, okay, whatever. But Jesus is rejoicing here. Continue with me. At that time, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. Okay, so what made Jesus rejoice? What brought Jesus joy? Apparently, what brought Jesus joy was seeing the Father reveal something to Jesus' followers. So let's take a look at that. Go back a few verses to verse 17. Now, this is where Jesus had sent out 72, other manuscripts say 70, but around 70, 72. He had sent them out, and they had come back. Jesus had sent them out to do his will. Last week we talked about how did Jesus respond to the flower of life. He kept going, pursuing the will of God for his life. Now Jesus has sent out the 72, and now they've come back, and they have done his will, and they have obeyed his word, and they have proclaimed his kingdom. And look at how they return. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 10 says this, the 72 returned with, what's that word?
Joy?
Cool. I'm really hoping that it was joy and not like another version because it gets awkward. They returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Now, can we just be really clear on that? That would be amazing. I've had the privilege of being able to pray for people and God heals them and being able to pray with people over some things. I've never had the opportunity to be in a situation where someone is oppressed by a demonic spirit and I pray and they're released. I'm not saying I want to sign up for that because always be careful what you ask of God because he just might give it to you. But if it's his will that I get to experience that, I'd love to. But can you imagine what that would be like? You've been traveling around and you've been meeting people who are messed up and you lay your hands on them and pray and bam, instantly, demonic spirits submit to the word that you speak. Bodily ailments are lifted before your eyes. There is power that God is flowing through your life. And so the disciples have had this happen. They're coming back and they are ecstatic. I would be too, right? They are just so happy beyond measure because of the things that God has enabled them to do. Yet look at how Jesus responds. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now we don't have time to get into the multiple ways you can interpret that, so sorry, we have to move on. But ask me later, we can talk about it. Verse 19, look, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. So is that a good promise? Yeah, that's a great promise. Verse 20, however, so Jesus just set up this scenario where lots of good things are happening. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, Jesus just told his followers that the thing they were so excited about is a good thing. They were given an amazing gift, the gift of spiritual power, the gift of divine authority, the gift of divine protection. These are all great things that were given to them, things they could hang on to, things they did hang on to. As we read throughout the rest of the Gospel of Luke and then into the book of Acts, we see that the followers of Jesus, they received that gift and they lived it out to the max. Amazing things happened, but Jesus said, the possession is great, the gift is good, but the greatest joy will come not from the things that you have, but the person to whom you belong. We could say it this way, true joy doesn't come from the possessions that belong to you, but from the person to whom you belong. See, the same thing that Jesus said in the story of this man who had stored up earthly possessions for himself. He said that man had earthly possessions, but that won't provide eternal joy. The same thing he also said to people who were seeking heavenly possessions, which are good things, but ultimately, even the things we possess spiritually can't compare to the relationship that our Father wants to give to us and have with us. True joy doesn't come from the possessions that belong to you, things you can hold on to, things you can grasp, but from the person to whom you belong. And this is amazing news because it means that when your possessions on earth slip away, like today I was carrying a lamp and I set it down in the trailer and the base of the lamp crumbled, like literally just fell out all over the trailer. To be fair, it was a $20 lamp. So, you know, it's not a Tiffany or something. But possessions fade away. But when your true joy is found in the person to whom you belong, it doesn't matter what happens to your possessions. You can still have joy. It doesn't matter what happens to your income. You can still have joy. It doesn't matter what happens to your home situation or your car situation. You can still have joy because your true joy isn't found in your possessions, but in the person to whom you belong. Now, what I also find fascinating about this is that this is Jesus reminding us that really the greatest possession you have, if you're in Christ, is the unreserved love of the Father. I found out that I've definitely got a ways to go before I'm anywhere close to being able to love like the Father does, right? I love my family, I love my church, but his love, that's amazing. But I want to get there, and I'm pursuing it. Now, I wonder, when you really know that you're really loved, what do you do as a result? Because remember, we're talking about how our decisions shape our destiny. So we've talked about the way that we pursue joy, but what do you do when you already got it? What do you do when you have it? What do you do when you're living in a place you are? You're living in the love of the Father. You're rejoicing in who God has made you to be. You're giving God thanks and praise for the way that he's blessed you so much. What else do you do? And are there some choices we can make when we're in those seasons of joy that will build up the treasures in heaven? Because the thing is, maybe you haven't had this happen to you, but I've found out sometimes it's when I'm at my happiest that I forget God the most easily. Praise God, he is teaching me how to cultivate habits that prevent that from happening, but it's something we want to keep an eye on. So what do? When you want to receive those rewards in heaven in a state of joy? Well, just a few verses after this one, we find the answer. Flip over to Luke 10, verse 25. Verse 25. And we're only going to read through verse 28. This is the passage where Jesus teaches about the Good Samaritan, an amazing passage with a lot of great truths for us, and just not tonight. But here's someone who comes up. Verse 25, Luke chapter 10. Then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he asked him. "How do you read it?" Verse 27, he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Verse 28, "You have answered correctly," he told him. "Do this, and you will live." So again, I want to keep reading the story, but that's not really the point of our message tonight. So I've got to stay focused, just like Daddy taught me when I was doing my homework. Stay focused, Philip. Here's the big idea. If you want to be in a place of joy and live out in such a way that brings treasures in heaven, it's really simple. Let the joy that comes down from God become the love that returns to him. When you receive that gift from God, don't just throw up a quick thank you prayer and move on. Let it do something in your heart. Let it remind you that joy is a mirror of the love of God. When you're in a season of life when things are going well, your job is going well, your finances are in a good place, your relationships are clicking, they're going, when you're in that place, let that place be a place where your love for Him grows. Sometimes I found out that it's easier for me to realize God's love when He's bringing me things like comfort and restoration, when I'm really broken and when I'm really hurting, and then He comes and then I'm just, oh, thank you for your love, God. But sometimes when I'm in a season of long blessing, it's easier to forget that I didn't do that myself. So when you're in a season, when you've already received the flower of joy, don't forget where it came from. Make the choices in that season that will be the choices that return love to the one who gave you the joy in the first place. And as you do that, you'll be choosing wisely, and those decisions will shape your destiny for greater joy to come.
Hi friends, Pastor Philip here, and thanks for joining us today. If you've been blessed, we'd love to know. Please leave a review on iTunes or Facebook, or email us at connect@outpostchurch.org. Also, if you'd like to contribute to this ministry, you can send a text message with any amount to 84321 or just visit outpostchurch.org/give. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.